Good morning and welcome. It's our week of prayer, and as Pastor Eric Lowe has said, we have been meeting throughout the week, and it's been lovely. It really has. It's amazing how it's hard to take that time out. And I know that if you're like me, you'll find that during the week, during the day, finding that little moment to whisper a prayer can sometimes seem elusive, difficult. But when we do take that moment to whisper a prayer, to spend a bit of time in prayer, the benefits are tremendous. And this week, we've not only taken time to whisper a prayer, to have a prayer between us, but to read our lessons, our readings this week, which has been about mission, about our mission, taking the mission, the gospel, forward. We've also found time to talk and to eat biscuits, homemade, very delicious, thank you very much, Katrina. And so we've gained fellowship as well. And I just want to say thank you for that, because if I hadn't made the effort, I would have missed out. So this is our last reading, and I've taken the reading and I've drawn out some elements in it that I really want to bring out to you. And I pray by the grace of God that we will be blessed. So I'm going to invite you to whisper a prayer with me now. I will be praying silently. I invite you to do the same, because the Lord has a word for you and for me. Let's just come to him firstly in a moment of silent prayer. So, children, in your children's story, it was about a mission impossible. How many adults recognize the tune? See? Well done. Shows our age. But the children didn't. And it was about having a task that was impossible to do. And I'm going to give you a task to do either in the hall afterwards or to take away and to do with your parents. So if you come in the hall, and I think the lovely Debbie would help me with this, I'm going to give you a piece of paper at the end. And what I'm going to ask you to do, children, is I'm going to ask you to put 8 folds into your bit of paper. 8 folds. How many? 8 folds, okay? And once you've done your 8 folds, can you show them to Debbie and to myself? So you've got to get 8 folds, clean folds, into your bit of paper. Do you think you'll be able to do that? Okay. And then show me. Fabulous. But for you adults, not a folding thing. You have a mission that's far more challenging and far more exciting and far more scary. So the children have 2 missions. They've got to tell everybody that Jesus loves them. Yours is that too. But how? How will you do that? And what's been the example of our patriarchs and our apostles that have helped us to know how we might do that? If I said to all of you that the elders in Hemel Seventh-day Adventist Church had a plan for your life, how would you respond? Bit of laughter. It's okay, you can talk to me. It's a week of prayer. It's a much more comfortable open. You'd laugh, you'd raise your eyebrows. Yeah, sorry? You'd be thankful. Thank you, yes. Well, they do have a plan. And it's in our week of prayer reading. It says that every member should be a channel through which God can communicate to the world the treasures of his grace, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's your mission. Does that sound a bit harder than the children's? Shall I say that again? So, that every member, that's me and you, that's a lovely Geraldine there, that's an amazing Warren there, would be a channel through which God can communicate to the world the treasures of his grace and the unsearchable riches of Christ. And you know, as we can see through the Bible, And through our church history, the Holy Spirit has throughout ages directed individuals to God's people that they might be changed following Christ's own example. So in the books of John, we experience Christ, and he has Nicodemus that comes to him. Do you remember this? Nicodemus comes at night, and he also has the woman at the well that comes to him. And once Christ has finished with them, he has left them with two things. First, with a clear impression and expression of his care, and second, with some life-changing thoughts. And then we have the accounts of Peter and Cornelius. Beautiful account. So Peter goes to Cornelius because the Spirit has led him to these Gentiles. Wouldn't normally go to them? Would you normally go to drug addicts? Would you normally go to someone of a Muslim faith? Would you normally go to someone who is an atheist? Would you normally go to someone that hates you? Someone that you had never associated with and wouldn't? Would you? Peter wouldn't. And he wouldn't have gone to Cornelius had he not been inspired. Had God not said to him through his Holy Spirit, don't call them unclean. Don't call them unworthy. Don't look down on them. Go. But go in my Spirit. And likewise, Philip was called as well. He went to the Ethiopian eunuch. And he said to him, do you understand what you're reading? And what did the eunuch say? How can I? Yeah, how can I? How can I understand if somebody doesn't help me to understand? Now that may seem simple to you, but we know from the experience of Philip that that was one of the most life-changing experiences for that eunuch. In fact, he said to Philip, hold on. I get it. I understand. I believe. I know what you're saying. This man, Christ Jesus, has died for me. And if I believe in him, if I accept him, I can have life. That means sense now. That Isaiah 60 that was completely beyond me, over my head, I understand not just that, but what this man is about. So he said, look, there's water. What would stop you, Philip, from baptizing me right here and now? And what did Philip say? What did Philip say? Nothing. And so he did. He left that eunuch, not just with a knowledge of God and a saving faith, but with an entry into the family of God. So those examples of Christ and of his apostles are the ones that are written down for us, for those of us in the 21st century, 2016, 17, 18, 20, however long until he comes, to be used as means to encourage us to help someone who is trying to understand what the Bible says. Have you had a colleague, a neighbor, someone who says, I don't really understand that stuff. What is it about? And you are then given an opportunity to share. And you know, the Bible says you don't have to worry about what you will say, because when you're ever speaking on my behalf, I will give you the words. And it does happen. I sat on a train. My husband will tell you that I talk to most people. In fact, he'll tell you everybody and anybody. And I do. And I love them. I sat down. There was just a man there reading. And you know the dynamics that happen. We're all juggling. We're all trying to sit down. The train is full. And you don't really want to sit next to anybody, but you have to when the train is full. And so here we are in a compartment of four facing one another. I'm next to him. He's reading his book. And then there's a disturbance going, and I'm trying to settle down with my bag and my briefcase and my coat, and then I want to take that off, and there's not that much space. There's not that much space in a train. So I'm taking my coat off, and I'm putting that down, and I'm putting my briefcase down. Of course, as women, we have our bags as well. And this is kind of nudging him here and there, because he can't get away from this. He's in by the window. I'm coming in by the aisle. So having disrupted this man, it's only right that I make conversation, don't you think? He's trying to read his book, trying to get away from the person next to them. And we got talking. In fact, this man told me about his son, he's 21, and they went to Zurich, and they had a great time, they get on really well. He doesn't see his son that often because they're separated. And he says his son is really good. He's really laid back. Not like me, he said. My son's really laid back. I said, oh, well, he laid back and you're not. He said, oh, I don't know where he gets it from. But I'm going to go to these mindfulness classes so that I can get a bit more ease. Do you know about mindfulness? I don't know about mindfulness. I said, well, I don't really know about mindfulness. Because I'm a Christian, really, and I tend to, I go with prayer. I find that peace and that ease in prayer. And he says, yeah, actually, that's better, isn't it? And we then spoke from Leicester through to London. It was an amazing time. And I got a chance to say that actually Christ is the better way. Now, Karen's laughing. My poor husband would have been embarrassed to death. But this man didn't go away saddened, because at the end of it, he said, wow, that journey's gone really quickly. And I, being mindful of my husband being mortally embarrassed by these things, decided, don't hang on to this poor man. Just say, okay, well, have a great day and go. And I left. But he thanked me. He thanked me for that time together, and I'm thankful to God that I had that opportunity to bring him to God, to bring him to a knowledge of prayer. Simple. But is that mission? Is that mission? Yeah? That is mission. Mission is as simple and as easy and as beautiful as that. Now, how many people here are not conversationalists? Come on. Yeah. How many people, a few hands. How many people here would not just sit down next to somebody and start a conversation? Oh, more hands going up. You don't have to do it that way. Mission is an expression of you and who you are. How many people think that if I sat down next to someone and I didn't talk, there would be something wrong with me? Paul, did your hand go up? Yes, he was. He was first. If we are to accomplish this work, it has to come out of us. It has to come out of the way that we would do it. The way in which we express what God has given us, who we are and what we would do. It would be wrong for me not to talk. Be sacrilege. Impossible as well. It would be wrong. But it may be wrong for you to try and do it that way. And I'm not inviting you to do that, but I am inviting you, by the means and the talent and the way in which God has shaped you and moves in your life, that you take an opportunity to do that. To share, to do what the children will do, is to say to somebody, you know, the Lord loves you. And it isn't just in those words. It's just by the fact that you recognize that they were struggling, so you offered to babysit their children. That you recognize that if they were out busy all week, that at the end of the week, being able to sit down and have either a meal or a cake that you had baked for them is a blessing. Or that they recognize that when in your skill of embroidery you sit down and you do something beautiful for them, That's you saying you're in my mind, my thoughts, and I care for you. And you're opening up avenues to share the love and ultimately salvation. Because it's not just the physical need that we're about. It's not just the social need that we're about. As Christians, we are about that salvation, the need to know and to live in the fullness of what God has for us, but it won't be here and now. We may have a taste of it, but it's about eternal life. And you know, the commission that Christ gave to the disciples, they themselves fulfilled. They went out and they shared the gospel, and communities within their sphere of influence received a revelation of the glory of God that had never been witnessed before in their communities. By cooperating with the Holy Spirit, the apostles did a work that shook the world. Do you know what they did? They carried the gospel to every nation in a single generation. To every nation, single generation. Now, there are a few more people on the earth now than when they did that. But we have means of taking the gospel to people immediately. So, what is the quickest means in which we can take a good news message to the whole world? What would you say? Radio? Okay. Internet? Facebook? Social media? Anybody else? Sorry? YouTube? Yeah. We've got them, haven't we? All of those, just like that. You can send an instant message, just like that. You can. Have you ever had, I remember when Nelson Mandela died, and when he died, they just interrupted what's that called, an iPad? Interrupted what was going on there, and they interrupted the television program as well. We interrupt this program to give you some breaking news, just like that. It is possible in our day and age to bring a message just like that. But not that it has to be the big news. We are able, through the sphere of our influence, through the mediums we have, to send out good news as well. To send out a message that's warming, heartening, drawing people back to Christ, giving them an understanding. And you know, at the beginning of their ministry, some of the apostles, the disciples of Christ, were unschooled, weren't they? They were fishermen, tax collectors, there was a doctor, tent makers, they were different. They were unschooled. They didn't come like the Pharisees or the Sadducees with a great depth of knowledge in the Bible. And conversely, they were the ones that didn't accept Christ. So these individuals were nevertheless solid in the cause of the gospel of God because they were under God's instruction. They were under Christ's own instruction. And they, under that instruction, developed and their lives changed. And they became empowered and enabled and more comfortable, freer, more willing to take a message. How? Because their lives were hid in Christ, in God, and their self was lost sight of. They were submerged in the depths of infinite love. And I say that because to stop and share with somebody, and I did again this week, I need to hide myself within God. Because if it's left to me, I would be timid. I wouldn't be as brazen to share. Somebody asked me, what are you going to be doing this week, with this weekend? And I needed that prayer in my heart to be able to witness. Because I'm not really doing anything that great. I have now had an invitation, that's great. But I wasn't doing anything at that time. But it was an opportunity in a one-to-one situation to say, we've been having a week of prayer, they've been really brilliant, and I'm going to be leading the last reading. It was an opportunity to enter into mission, to share, because I placed myself behind my limitations and my pride and my ego and my desire to be liked and to be part of this group, part of this person, and was able to share something. Now, not everybody struggles with that, but sometimes we do. It was an opportunity to say that prayer is important, which can be a reminder to draw people back to something that they maybe had lost sight of. So, when we think of the disciples, they had been with Christ, and firstly, they had their ideas transformed in the way that they would approach mission. And then they went out, and they went on there to transform others by this same method. They worked with Christ to hasten that glorious day. And that's what mission is about, working with Christ to bring in Christ's return, which is what we as Adventists are about. What do we know about these disciples? Well, we know that they drew strength from Christ. We know that they copied Christ. We know that they made God's honor their honor, and God's truth was their truth, and that with every power of their being, they battled for the cause of Christ, and that we know that they could hold forth the word of life because they had received heavenly anointing. You see, they committed their lives to God and to his work, and they were transformed by the renewing of their mind into God's thinking, into Christ's way of working. They expected much, and they did that because they trusted themselves to God and his preparation, the knowledge of him in their lives. And having done so, they attempted much as well. Christ had revealed himself to them, and they looked to God for guidance. Their understanding of truth and their power to withstand the opposition that came to them, because it wasn't all easy, was in proportion to their conformity to God's will. That's what they were aligning and subjecting and submitting themselves to. What is God's will for me, for this person in front of me, for this situation? What did the disciples have? They had Christ. They had Christ and they had his teachings. They had the wisdom and power of God. And they made that their keenest conversation. I can make Christ and his truth my keenest conversation because I talk and I like to talk. What can you do in a keen spirit that reflects God in you, his work, his truth, his love? Now, some of you, that's as simple as a hug. Kirsty does nice hugs. She's pretty good. She's pretty good at hugs, actually. It's a smile. Joan does nice caring things. So who of us have not had some warmth or care from Joan? Sometimes in the form of chocolates, marvellous. Sometimes in the form of gifts, in a prayer, in a call, in different ways. There are some musicians who show us their love in their talents. And sometimes I don't always appreciate that, but they help me to, don't they? And we don't always appreciate our musicians, Warren. But when you play and those harmonious notes connect with what's in our memory, they remind us of the power in those words. And they stay with us. So the music stays with me in the week. And sometimes I find myself humming something. And it draws me back to what those words say. It draws me back to God. And I found myself humming that in the office as well. And I know that that then enables me to extend a means of mission and witness, because that focuses me on the fact that I am a child of God. His words, his truth, they guide me, they strengthen me, they enable me to do what? To be more loving and less harsh. And sometimes It's just our mannerisms and our behaviours that are needed to draw individuals to us. And if there is no relationship, which is what that will do, you then do not have the environment for mission. So it may seem as if it's not related, but it is, because these things connect us to who God is, what he has done for us, what he wants us to do for others, what he wants us to say and invite others to. Mission happens in a whole number of ways. But I recognize that for our disciples, the work was not easy. And I recognize that for the Christian church, they were joined by hardship and bitter grief, and that the disciples encountered scorn and indifference. And I've encountered that too. Complete indifference when I've wanted to share something of God and his truth. And what do you do? In fact, what do you do when you have sought to share? It has been misrepresented, and in fact, it might even lead you to danger or reproach. And I think of Paul and Silas in Acts 19, who, in attempting to share the truth of Christ, were then accused. First they were thought of to be gods, and then they were thought of to be the enemies of the state. It's not always going to be easy. And I kind of need to say that to recognize that in the path of mission throughout our time, throughout our history, individuals, patriarchs, have suffered. And so, yes, it's true that not everyone will want to hear. Not everyone cares. Not everyone believes. Not everyone wants to work with us in bringing in the kingdom of God. But that is our mission. That's absolutely our mission. It's our mission to build on the foundation of our patriarchs. It's to build upon Christ, the foundation that Christ himself has laid for us as him, a firm and sure cornerstone, a firm foundation. And Paul, in his letter to believers at Ephesus, talks about that inclusive family, talks about how consequently everyone becomes part of a family in the end. He says in Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Around us are inquiring minds, and they are rejecting minds as well. But let's focus on the inquiring minds, who we can bring into that inclusive family of God, a family into which all are invited. There are some who don't want to know, but let's focus on the ones who are looking for salvation, who need to be part of God's family. And yes, even if the enemy is at work, and he will be at work, let's focus on the family that we can bring together. Christ wants our minds. He wants our minds to be settled on him and his saving truth. He wants us to push through so that not just our minds, but our lives, our behaviors, all of our being reflects him, opens up that family in whatever way we can do it, so that that church of God is a church that is built up of individuals who would not otherwise have come, but but for the fact that you push through the difficulties, the obstacles, our own egos, our own fear, our own pride. Building God's church cannot be done without transforming our lives. And that transforming work comes from the ideas and thoughts that we keep in our heads. It isn't done just by us. It's done by the Holy Spirit moving us in small ways, in large ways. But it's done because we accept that as Christians, God has a plan for us, which is our own lives, but it's also a sharing, an opening, an invitation, making us, each member, a channel through which God communicates the world to the world the treasure of his grace, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and the fact that in him is eternal life. So just to finish then, the church, which is us, is God's agency for preaching the truth. We're empowered by him to do a special work. And the zeal for God enables us to move to witness, which is simply sharing, to witness to his truth, that message of salvation. We might do it in simple ways. We might do it through our behaviors. We might do it through formal Bible studies, which is what it may come to. But can you be part of moving us as a Christian body towards that glorious returning of our Lord and Savior? It's about the part that we each can play. When we become more like Christ, change happens. Truth will triumph. And although things may get in the way, it has never stopped the gospel mission from then till now, till Christ comes. And it won't stop it, because the power is not ours. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. What sustained the Son of God during his life of toil and sacrifice? We're told that he saw the results of his sacrifice and he was satisfied. Christ looked into eternity. He looked beyond the immediate and he saw that Wilma would believe and she would find joy in that and she would find comfort. And he continued, he pushed through, and it was much more of a sacrifice for him. And I'm encouraging you to look beyond yourself to what others might come to know and experience, because you took the time. You moved beyond yourself to share. You accepted the call of mission, and in your acceptance, you became part of the family of God that completed that. If your life was a wooden signpost, what would it be saying? And in what direction would it be pointing? Let God purify you as his very own missionary, eager to do what is good as you minister within your sphere of influence. Thank you.